It's good to see everybody this morning. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning as well. We're running a little bit late, but that's all right. Going to get started. As some of you already know, my nephew passed away this past week, and we'll be having a memorial service here at church next Saturday at 2 o'clock for David Davis. And so remember my sister, family in prayer, especially David's wife Terry that'll be coming in, traveling from Texas. Remember her in your prayers for safety as she travels, and that the Lord will watch over and comfort her, especially this morning, especially through the week, and then the service, and as she goes on in her life, that God will watch over her. She's a sweet lady, and hope some of you get the opportunity to meet her. We're in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in the 4th chapter, and especially in the 10th verse. We'll be starting out this morning, but before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for the reality of a risen Savior, for the reality of a salvation that is given by God. Freely and forever, we are saved by the grace of God. Faith alone, grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. We thank you for that marvelous truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that called us out of darkness into light, that revealed to us our sinful nature and showed us a Savior that is mighty to save. And we pray for anyone that's watching online that has never been born from above, that as we teach through the Word of God, they might realize the reality of a risen Savior, their need for Christ, and come to a point that the Holy Spirit leads them to Christ, that they might repent of their sins, place their faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection, and come to know Him as Savior and Lord, the greatest thing that could happen to any human being on the face of the earth. Lord, bless Terry and the family, and watch over them there in Texas, and my sister and the family here. We thank you for your grace that is always sufficient. Thank you for your love that fills our hearts, and for the day when the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky and we're caught up to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Bless our study this morning. Open our not only our ears and our minds to the Word, but our hearts as well, that we might not only grasp it in our minds, but it might affect and guide us in our hearts, that we might worship the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord indeed. For it's in His name and through His shed blood that we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of 1 Peter, we're studying about spiritual gifts. And I want to take time. Probably this morning and at least this evening, I'm going to be teaching on spiritual gifts. And so that is what we're going to springboard, if you will, off of 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in the 10th verse. Each one should use whatever gift he has received, whatever gift he has received, to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various form. For if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now, in this verse of Scripture right here, we have a light shown upon what spiritual gifts are all about. It's all, what does he say here? If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Now this is the key. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So spiritual gifts are grace gifts given by God. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here in just a moment. But grace gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, given by God at the point of redemption, of salvation. And they are something that are given that was not present before. It's something that as you receive the Holy Spirit when you were born from above, so these gifts, grace gifts, are given. Now then, I want to say a couple more things about this. Talents are not grace gifts. Let's take Bill for instance. Bill, you're sitting close. He played the guitar before he was saved. All right, that's a talent. I wish I could. I can't. I can't play a radio, much less a guitar. But that was a talent he had before he was saved. So that now he plays the guitar in leading worship. He already had that talent. Already had it. But God has given him through salvation a grace gift that now his desire is to serve the Lord and to serve the church. Remember, when we look at grace gifts in the body of Christ, every person in the body of Christ, in the church, has been given spiritual gifts by the grace of God. And that is for the glory of God and the edification of the church. So now when Bill stands up there and plays his guitar, he's using the talent he already had, all right? But now he's using it for the glory of God and the edification of the church. So playing the guitar is not a grace gift. But using that talent for the glory of God and the edification of the church becomes the gift that God has given in service for the glory of God. So he is serving with the talent God had already given him, but in serving with that talent, he is now serving Christ and the body of Christ for the glory of God and the edification of the church. So now that talent has in its own way become part of the gift that God has given him. We can look at almost anyone and we can see this same process. Kevin McNichols. You're next. And Bubba Dodge, you're back there. I can see you in that yellow blazer, buddy. You can't hide. They both are builders. They can look at something. They can dissect it. They can understand not only what needs to be done, but how it should be done and the material that's needed to do it. Okay. They were builders before they were ever saved. They had the talent, the God-given talent, to be able to do this. But now that talent has been given to glorify God and to edify the church. Same way with each individual. Talent is not a grace gift. It is not a spiritual gift. It is a talent that an individual has, okay? The gift is a gift of service. Now the gift of service takes over the talent and uses it for the glory of God and the edification of the church. And that is true of every one of you, of every one of you. Diana, you just walked in. Diana is she has the gift of mercy. She not just sympathizes. Sympathizes is to feel someone's distress, to feel someone's pain. Empathizes is what the gift is. Empathizes. She actually enters into that same sadness, that same heartache, that same feeling, if you will, that person has. And so she is able to minister to them through her heart and her life by the gifts of God that He's given her. She now empathizes with them. And so I want you to see that each person is given different gifts, but those gifts that God gives are not talents, but they can use the talents that the person already has. And that's what we see but it is always, it can never be considered a spiritual gift. And think about this. What did we say? Well, I got to look at what we said. Expect me to remember it? I'm 80 years old. Okay, what do we say? It is the Spirit that gives the gift. It is the Son that gives the ministry. And it is the Father that works the effect. The Trinity is involved. The Spirit gives the gift at the time of salvation. The Lord gives the ministry, and God works the effects. All three are involved in the life of an individual in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to glorify God through the Son and to edify the church. Okay. And that's what we see when we look at this. Now, I'm going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in the fourth verse, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. There you have the Trinity. There you have just what I was talking to you about. There are different kinds of gifts. What? Different kinds of gifts given by who? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. So the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. This is what is so beautiful about a New Testament church. God not only has a plan for Noah and myself individually, but He has a plan for Noah and myself in the body of Christ. He has a plan for us in the unity and the edification of His church, of His body. You say, well, aren't we all, no matter what church we go to, part of the body of Christ? Yes. But there is also the only church you find in the New Testament is the local New Testament church, is a body of baptized believers called out by the Holy Spirit, saved by the grace of God, that are serving together in one location. That's the only kind of church you find in the New Testament. Now, there's coming a day when all that will come together in the second coming of Christ, and all of us who make up these localized bodies of Christ will be gathered together in one place at one time. That hasn't happened yet. So there's no such thing yet as a universal church. We have local bodies of baptized believers that make up a local church in one location. And God has a plan for each one, just like He has a plan for Chuck and Jana. He has a plan for me, for Bill, for Diana, for Judy. Each one of us, we fit into what God is planning to do. I've always believed with all my heart that no one is here by accident. God brings within the local body of believers those that He has gifted, those with the talents and gifts to make up that local baptized body of believers for the edification of the church and the glory of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He knows before we know it what that church needs and what it takes to become what God intended it to be. And I believe that with all my heart. And that's what we see when we look at what is going on here. Now, in verse 7 of the 12th chapter, He says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So God works through the Holy Spirit in each one of us to be used. Our gifts are manifested in such a way for what? For the common good of the church and the glory of God. That's the way it works. To one, there's given the Spirit of the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit, to another, faith. By the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing. By that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different types of tongues or languages. To still another, interpretation of tongues or languages. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Then He goes on to say, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body." You say, "Well, when did that happen?" That happened at salvation. That happened when you were born again. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. We all have the same Spirit within us, God the Holy Spirit. And now then, I want to show you a scripture that causes people a lot of problems, and I want to explain to you what I believe it means. If you go over to the 12th chapter and the 31st verse. Now, actually, let's start in verse 27, okay, and work down to 31. "Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Amen. That's who we are, right? Each one of you is a part of it. "And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles." Now, we don't have apostles today because we have the apostolic age was given before we had the Word of God and before the church was actually formed. The apostles were here to form. God worked through the apostles and the work of the apostles to form the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin on the day of Pentecost, actually begin when he called the apostles out. But anyway, he goes on to say, he talks about all the, now look at verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues or languages, do all interpret? Verse 31, this is it. But eagerly or earnestly desire the greater gifts. All right. Now, what are the greater gifts? What he's talking about is the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching. Now, there's a lot of people that misunderstand 99.9% of the time when he's talking about the gift of prophecy, he's not talking about foretelling. We think prophet, oh, they're the ones that look down through the, God looked down through the ends of time and revealed to them revelation that hasn't happened yet, and they spoke concerning things that haven't happened yet. Most of the time, that's not what this word means. It means speaking what God has revealed to them, speaking the words of God. God would speak to the prophet, he would relay the words to the people. That's what we do today. God speaks to us the Word of God. We have it right here. This is the Word of God. So if we look at the gift of prophecy today, it is that one who has been given a gift that is able to take the Word of God and rightly communicate it to the people of God. Okay. Teaching is almost the same way. But if I get into all the spiritual gifts and what differentiates them, I can show you the difference between a prophet and a teacher. Now, and I'll get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. Usually, one of the gifts of a pastor is both prophecy and teaching. It is communicating the Word of God as God energizes that person through the truth of the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It is giving forth the Word of God and communicating it by God's energizing power. And it is also the ability to teach the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you my understanding of the difference between the two. Nate is a far better teacher than I am. He is a far better teacher than I am. I was enjoying what he was teaching when I got in here in the end of the first service this morning on the covenants. A teacher's greatest desire, a teacher that has been given, that a God-given spiritual gift to teach, has a burning, their greatest desire, they have a burning desire to learn and to learn and to learn and to learn, and they are driven. They are driven by that desire. That's Brother Nate in a nutshell. Good Lord. I know we're on fast time, but that's ridiculous. I'm learning from Nate, which is a wonderful thing. Okay. God has given him, he can shut himself up in that study or in a room at home with his books and his Bible, and he can study, he can study, he can study, he can study. He has a God-given desire to learn everything that God has for him. That is a gift. You shut me up in a room for as many hours as he would be, and I'd go nuts. He has that, God has given him that desire and that gift, and it is a wonderful thing. He is a far better teacher than I am. God has given me the gift more of prophecy than teaching. Does that mean he can't prophesy and I can't teach? No, not at all. Most pastors have been given the same gifts, both. Nate has the gift of teaching way more than I do. Not only do we receive spiritual gifts, but because we're all different, no matter who we are, we're all different. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Just think of it as a building. If the whole building was concrete, like the foundation, well, how would you have your roof? If the whole building were wood instead of concrete, where would you have a foundation? Every individual in the body of Christ is not only gifted with spiritual gifts, but they are given to them in a quantity as it pleases God, as it pleases Him. And those gifts, when we see it in work, complement one another. Now, when over here, this verse of Scripture, 31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? Two of them are teaching, just like I told you, and prophecy. Okay, so what is he saying? All of you should want to be a pastor. No, that's not what he's saying. All of you should want to be able to preach. No, that's not what he's saying. All of you should want to be able to stand up there and teach and lead the congregation. That's not what he's saying. If you go back and you look at all the verses preceding that, what's he talking about? He's talking about the church being gathered together in worship. He's talking about the church being gathered together in worship. Look, the bell's done rung. Verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, I would not for that reason cease to be part of that body. And it goes on and on to say that. On and on. All right. And it says down in verse 21, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, treated with special modesty. Okay, on and on and on. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So what's he talking about? He's talking about all of us that make up the body, like the foot, the hand, the head, the ears, the eyes. Everything is different, but it's all come together in the body of Christ. Now then, so what he's saying here in this 31st verse, when the body of Christ comes together, when the body of Christ comes together, we should all earnestly seek the greater gifts. What does that mean? That means when the body is gathered together, like we are this Sunday, the body is gathered together. That's what the church is, gathered together. What should all of us seek? That the greater gifts are being exercised. That the greater gifts are being, what? Why? Because it's all about the Word of God. When the church is gathered together, it's not about what you think, what I think, what somebody else thinks. It's all about the Word of God. And so this is what he's saying. When the church gathers together, earnestly seek that the greater gifts are exercised because they lead us through the Word of God. This is what he's saying here. Because a lot of people think, well, I need to seek the greater gifts. I need to be a preacher. I need to be the teacher. I need to do this. I need to lead the church. I need to do this. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying when the church is gathered together, seek that the greater gifts are leading you through the Word of God, edifying the church and glorifying the Lord. This is what he's saying here in verse 31. And I wanted to bring that out this morning because so many people see that and they read that and they think, well, that's something I ought to be seeking. Not true. It is that this is something the church seeks, something the congregation seeks, that it is exercised when the body is gathered together because it's all about the Word of God. This is what we're talking about. And I'm out of time. And so I didn't get very far. And I didn't get into what I really wanted to get into. So I'll try to do that tonight. But yes.
It shows in the bulletin that the Gideon is going to be here tonight.
Oh.
Just saying.
I forgot about that. You'll have to wait till next Sunday morning. Thank you. Well, that shot me down. That's all right. The Gideons do a good, that is a wonderful ministry, and they usually send someone that does a good job speaking on that. So I won't regret that. But I came, I've got Chris was, what he has to say about spiritual gifts. I wanted to read that to you. Because it helps a lot too, W.A. Criswell. And this half of this is spiritual gifts. Because I taught on it for like 6 months at one time. But like I said, we'll get to it. Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day and worship you. Thank you because you are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. You are an unchanging God. We give you praise and glory because of who you are. Not just because of the mighty things that you've done, but because of who you are. We bow down, we worship you. We thank you for so great a salvation. I ask you to cover Brother Nate in your spirit, in your grace, in your mercy. And speak through him this morning the words of God that you have prepared for us, that our hearts might be lifted, that our minds might be enriched, that we might become more like Jesus Christ. And I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that the Spirit of God might call them out of darkness into light and draw them to Christ in faith, repenting of their sins. For we ask it all in the